Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Working Dog Wednesday Show on the Fueled by Joy Working Dog Podcast, brought to you by Joy Dog Food. Now, I'm your host, Mike Green. I'm the owner and operator of Cottonville Road Kennels, located in Norwood, North Carolina. I want to let you know, for more information about Joy Dog Food or to find a Joy dealer near you, visit joydogfood.com. Now let's get on to the show.
Joy Dog Food is one of the oldest dog food companies on the market, starting back in 1945. Since then, much has changed in the pet food industry, but one thing that'll never change is our dedication to our customers and providing the best quality dog food while remaining consistent at the same time. Joy Dog Food is family owned and operated by Wade Kraskiewicz and his son Skyler. The two have worked side by side for years, providing superior customer service, products, and resources to pet owners across the nation. Here at Joy Dog Food, we pride ourselves on providing personalized one-on-one customer service to each person that calls, emails, or messages us. For more information on our products, to find a dealer near you, or to become a dealer yourself, visit joydogfood.com or call 800-245-4125.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to have every one of you with you. Appreciate all of you tuning in and listening to our show. It is the Working Dog Wednesday show, and on here, whenever I'm hosting, we talk about beagles, mostly beagles. Sometimes we talk about other stuff, but this is your beagle show. We appreciate Josh Michaelis and Callie Simpson for what they do with the Callie's got the retrievers, and Josh handles the coon dog side of it, and I take care of everything beagles. So we do appreciate you tuning in. It's been a little while since I have put a show on. I've been really busy, and as you guys know, life gets busy in a hurry with all of us. And so I just like to remind everybody, if you ever have a question, you want to email me, that's mike@joydogfood.com. and if you have any questions about the dog food, where to find the dog food retailers, or any information that you would like to know about it, you can always go to joydogfood.com, and there you'll find the information that you need. We got a returning guest on here today. I got Jason Horn out of Roseboro, North Carolina. That's Brush Busting Beagles. Jason was with me last year in the summer for as we got ready for rabbit season was coming up, and we had some good conversation. I told him I wanted to get him back on here, and so now we're on here today, and today's topic is going to be spring training. I know a lot of people have different ideas and things that they do for spring training as they got young dogs coming on and tuning up some of the older dogs that maybe they needed to work with a little further than just rabbit season. And so today that's what we're going to talk about. So Jason, I do appreciate you being on with me again today. It's always good to talk to you, old buddy.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Now, last time we was on, we had a pretty long conversation. Spring training is not as long a conversation, I don't think. But we loves to be on for an hour and a half. But depending on what issues we got to get worked out with some dogs, right?
Right.
What you got going right now? You got 10 head of dogs, and you got some puppies on the way. What's the puppies coming out of?
I'm working a female right now that is out of a dog that I had named Lucy, and daddy is Dan. Dan goes back to the Max dog that I got from you a couple of years ago. You know, Max and Lucy both got killed this year rabbit hunting. So I've got a puppy off Lucy, and I've got a puppy off Max that I'm running right now. And then I got Costa that come off of Max and your Sarah dog.
That's going to be your world beater right there. I'm just going to tell you, that's just the way that it is. Maybe maybe that dog will be, Costa will be good as, winter is, and then we'll be even, won't we?
So. And that's right. That's exactly right. That's what I'm hoping for anyway. But I've got a litter of puppies on the way off of Ann. She come from you. She was off Maggie and Percy, and then I bred her to one of Max's sons that's doing really good. So this is a first time cross, and I'm excited about it. And she's a go getter. She don't let nothing grow up around her. She's the type of dog I can turn her out, and if they ain't nothing going on, she's gonna go to she finds a rabbit. And Juicy, he was off my axe that I got from you, and he's Juicy is two now, but he's turning into a fine young male dog. So this is the first cross that I'm gonna have out of them, and I think they're supposed to be due May the 4th. So
okay,
they'll be next year's project.
Yeah, that's gonna get you right into might say May 4th. That's gonna take you right into rabbit season. You should be running rabbits with them for February, so around really around November, if you get them started when they're 6 months old. So that's the thing about having pups late in the spring. I know I do the same thing. You know, man, how rich would I be if I could control the heat on a dog, make them come in and go out when I needed them to? But you know, that's the thing about having a late litter. I just bred my Felina dog, and so she's still 40 some days out from having hers, and so you know it's going to be some late litters. But that's okay, because if we think about the math on that and training, I know we always talk about spring training. So the pups that you got coming will be perfect for next year's spring training, because you're looking at getting them started, maybe hunting them a little bit in December and a little bit in January, not putting too much pressure on them. But then coming out of by the end of rabbit season, you should have already done killed over top of them dogs. So you right on time.
Right. Yep. And that's pretty much how the two young dogs I'm running now is. I was able to get them started. I think starting them around December or January, and I got to hunt them the whole month of February. And by the time rabbit season went out, they were doing really good. So they're running good enough now to where, you know, I'm off on Fridays and Saturdays. So a lot of times Fridays, I'll just take the young dogs and run them Friday. And then Saturdays, I'll take my whole pack or whatever, you know, ain't in heat or pregnant, and run them all together. So it's worked out good.
Keeping everybody conditioned by doing that's pretty easy. And feeding Joy dog food, and you've been a long time customer of Joy dog food, and we appreciate you. And feeding them the right diet during the spring is just as important as feeding the right diet during the winter, right?
Oh yeah, it's it definitely helps. I know I feed the 24/20, and I feed the 30/20 to my pregnant dogs, and I know if I get about a 2 week stretch there, if I don't get a chance to run, they're starting to move everything around in their dog pen. I got to get them. It keeps me in the mood to run, and they're ready.
So Joy dog food is good for you and your dogs. keep both of you in the mood to go. And
I don't have to. I'll have to switch to the maintenance blend or something. So I like to keep them on the 24/20 year round. But like I said, I try not to go over 2 weeks if I can help it. You know, sometimes life gets busy and you know you can't run. But for the majority, I can at least get them out. If not every week, every 2 weeks, it works out.
Yeah, and that's, like Maggie, you know, she'll be 12. If she lives to see May the 1st, she'll be 12 years old, and she's still just as spunky today as she was when she was 5 years old. She just can't be spunky as long as she used to could be. And
right.
So during the spring, whenever I'm focusing on soloing and running my young dogs and dogs, upcoming dogs, and you know, of course, I'm just like you. I'm feeding my 30/20 to the pregnant bitches, and then 24/20 on the daily to the regular dogs, because you know, I run a few days a week. But for like Maggie, I don't run her a lot in the heat, you know, because of her age. Excuse me. And the other dogs, you know, it'd be 90 degrees out there. You know, a lot of times I don't turn dogs out to 8:30, and it's already 85 degrees. You know, I'm not gonna put Maggie through that. You know, she'll mess around and stroke out on me. It'll be my own fault. You know what I mean? And so,
right.
Since I don't run her as much in the spring, the summer, for that reason, I break her down to maintenance, and I feed her that, and that keeps her looking good. She's not overweight, and she stays healthy on that. She gets good results from the vet every time she goes, so that works pretty good. So, you know, and I'm like you, if I did get in a situation where it was going to be 3-4 weeks and I'm only going to get to run every 3 or 4 weeks, and I'm definitely breaking all of them down to maintenance. Just simply, one, no sense in spending the money and running that, you know, running that through them. I don't have to feed them as much. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that just makes good sense to do that. What about, so what young dogs you got coming up that you're focused on this spring?
I got a young female I call Tilly. She was off of Lucy and Dan, and then I got one I call Rick. He was off Max and Peaches. That's what I'm focusing on right now. And then there's a boy named Aaron Coates. Him and his son, they bought 2 puppies from me. They're running their puppies with me, and then Jacob and Alex Summers, they hunt with me, and they got 2 young dogs that they're running, so we all get together as much as we can, and we hunt together all the time, so they we just carry it right on through the spring and summer and back to rabbit season.
Now, are you conditioning those dogs for those guys, or are you just talking about they've got dogs that you're going to be running with your young dogs?
No, they're running with me. They actually hunt with me. And like I said, Aaron, he was a customer. He bought 2 puppies off of the Lucy and Dan cross.
Okay.
He used to be a deer hunter, and I have converted him to a rabbit hunter.
Shame. Shane, Bo, you know, I gotta love that deer hunting.
So, oh, yeah.
But I understand that conversion as well. So,
yeah.
Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He used to have a pack of deer dogs, and his little boy got to wanting a beagle, and he called me one day asking me about beagles and bloodlines. And I said, Aaron, I said, what are you going? He grew up around me. Matter of fact, the first deer he ever killed was with me, I believe. And I said, what are you wanting? He said, well, what have you got? If you've got puppies, I'm buying from you. I said, hey, you know, that's whatever you want, you know. So he, like I said, he bought 2, and it worked out good for me, man, because, you know, the luck I had this year.
Yeah,
I lost.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up too much, but tell us about that loss. And you took a great loss on 3 dogs this year, didn't you?
Yeah, we were hunting, and matter of fact, man, it was the first time Aaron and his little boy ever come hunting with us. And we were hunting, man, dog was in there. I mean, it was about the best smelling day we had had all season. To start with, you know, it was the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
That Max dog I bought from you, and Lucy, I raised her from a puppy. And, man, I'm assuming it was a pit bull that went in there and killed him. When I finally got them out of the woods, got to them and got them out of the woods. I mean, that's about the only thing I could think of that done it. And then, that was on Friday. Then that Saturday, I had that Trump dog I got from you. I'd carried him through the vet. He just had been down, and I'd treated him with everything I could think of. And he, when I carried him to the vet, he was in kidney failure, so he had to be put down. So that's the closest I've ever come to just giving up and selling out. And Aaron and his little boy, and then 2 young boys, Jacob and Alex, and their daddy, Greg, they've hunted with me for years. But if it hadn't have been for them young boys, I'd have probably sold out. I went about, I don't know, I think it was about 2 weeks that I didn't hunt or nothing. And when I finally started back hunting, it was time to start those puppies. So I carried those puppies to the pen, got them started. Mr. Delmer Jackson started them for me, and he called me. He said, "Son," he said, these puppies is really looking good." So when I got them back, and I let them sit up about a week because they'd been at the running pen for 2 weeks. And, man, like the first time I carried them hunting, they went in there with the grown dogs and went to running good. So I said, "Well," I said, "as bad a luck as I had, you know, I still had the puppies off of them, and they were doing good." So that got my spirits back up, and we went right back at it.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, losing one, or losing, well, it's tough enough losing one, much less losing three in one weekend. And now, folks, you heard him mention that he assumed it was a pit boy. He had good reason to assume that because they had seen the pit bulls there on the property. And so it wasn't an assumption without reasoning. So for everybody that loves pit bulls out there, he's not just condemning a pit bull without reason. They did see him and have to run him off.
Yeah. And like I said, man, I don't have nothing against the pit bull. And these here were pretty much wild dogs. But, you know, the pit bull in the right hands, it ain't no different than a beagle.
That's right.
I'm not condoning that. You know, I like all dogs. Anytime you go hunting, you know, you run the risk of never seeing that dog again when you turn them out. That's just how it goes. And in about 24 years of hunting, that was the first time I ever had anything like that happen. So, you know, I've been blessed and fortunate over the years to not have nothing like that to happen. You know, it's one of those things. It can happen anywhere at any time.
Oh, yeah. There's all types of stories that we hear from people losing dogs every year on social media platforms, you know, and different things happening, dogs getting shot by accident, getting lost, getting run over, getting attacked by different animals and whatnot. It's unfortunate, but you said a mouthful right there when you said that when we turn them out, you know, there's no guarantee we're going to get that dog back.
Right.
And sometimes dogs just die without reason. It's just like your dog Garrett died with kidney failure, you know. Wasn't like he was mistreated or malnourished in any way. You know, things just happen, and it seems like it always happens to the good ones, boys. You know, it's like, daggone.
And man, I'm going to tell you, it's funny because me and the guys was talking, you know, and when you've got, like, you know, that Max dog, I thought the world of him. Mm-hmm. I'd bred him to everything up here. I mean, he threw Cracker Jack puppies. But another dog seems to always step up and shine where you've always, and everybody does, everybody's got a favorite dog. I mean, they'd be lying if they told you they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you always listen for that dog. Well, when these dogs was gone, I was like, well, darn, this other dog here is doing a whole lot more than I thought she was doing, you know, or he's doing more. So, I mean, I don't know, it's funny how it happens. It seems like it's just like in anything, humans too, you know, something bad happens, something good comes out of it. You know, it ain't always doom and gloom because it happened, you know, and I'm thankful that I didn't sell out, because if I did, I know me, I'd have got right back in.
Well, you know what the Bible says, that Satan meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So that's one good thing about that is, you know, that keeping you. And I remember, you know, I talked to you several times during that. I remember you was pretty down, but you remember back when I lost Shire.
Yeah,
that was which was Max's mama.
Right.
That was a big lick for me because of, she wasn't the greatest dog that ever existed, but she was a dang good dog. And, she was a great loss for our kennel, you know, right. And, you know, it is what it is. So I got a picture of her in my office. So, she meant a lot to me, but you know what, good Lord willing, we'll get more. You have got more, and you went on to have a good season, right?
Right. Yeah.
And during that season, I didn't get – every year we do a veterans hunt down there with Fallen Outdoors down at – what's the name of that farm? Kitty Fort something?
Yeah, Kitty Fort Outdoors, KFO.
Yeah. And so we do that. This year I didn't get to attend because that was when my grandfather was passing, and so I didn't get to come down. I was actually supposed to went to the Laminator that weekend, but my grandfather ended up falling sick, and so I wasn't able to come down and participate in the hunt. So tell us how that went, veteran hunt.
It went good, man. It was the conditions. I mean, running conditions was bad that day, but I think them guys ended up killing 6 or 7 rabbits, and they should have killed about 15. But you know, you've got people that ain't never hunted before, and you know, it ain't always about the killing. I mean, I got to see. I seen a bunch of kids and all this time, man, in track chairs and stuff, and it's just a blessing to see those kids and their parents. You know, that's a day that they ain't got to worry. They don't think about what's going on. They're just out there to have fun, and we get to provide that fun for them. There was one guy there, man. He was a soldier, and he didn't actually get to hunt. His daughter hunted, but man, bless his heart, he had one arm, and his legs, another arm had, I think he'd got hit with a IED or something.
Mm.
And I mean, just to hear their stories, man, and know what they went through so we can do what we do.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, And that's the thing, you know, and I ain't want to talk politics or nothing, but it just, I wish people would realize, you know, if people could just come to something like this and just see, you know, ain't but 2 people ever died for us, and that was Jesus Christ and the American soldier.
That's right. To be.
And, you know, Jesus saved us, but the soldiers, man, I mean, once that war ends over, that's when their war actually begins, when they come home. I mean, they're never going to be normal again, and it's just really sad when you think about it. And if people could see how they actually have to live after that, I think the world would be a whole lot better place.
Yeah, if they have any compassion in their heart, they would understand a little better, wouldn't they?
Right. But that's something, you know, I enjoy that every year. It's just fun to get out there and let them have a day that they just, you know, they can forget about their worries for a couple of hours and they can have fun.
Well, that's what Fallen Outdoors does. That's what you going. And who was your partner that was down there this year?
Chuck Carter come and brought some dogs.
Yeah.
And then Greg and Alex and Jacob that hunts with me brought dogs, and then Aaron that hunts with me, he brought a dog. That's a hunt there, and you know, I tell the boys that's coming to hunt with me, you know, it's done safe, but there's so many people there, you know, just helping. And then you've got, you know, it's kind of like a big deer hunt or something, you know, you've got people everywhere, but you know, we keep a hunter with them to make sure the dogs are safe. But you know, it's something you don't want to carry a puppy that's just starting out too, because there's going to be a whole lot of shooting, and you know, anything, the more guns you got, the more dangerous it is. But they do a really good job of making sure, you know, they tell the people that's hunting, hey, if you don't listen, you know, these guys with the dogs, if they say that, if they tell me you're doing something unsafe, you know, you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
They do a really good job of making sure that the dogs are safe and, you know, everybody else is safe too.
Right. Well, that's the only way to do it. That's the absolute only way to do it is that with that safety especially when you got that many guns. And I know the last time we was down there, we put them out in spots, kind of assigned spots for a gun to be here, a gun to be there. Is that the way you done it this year?
Yeah. And, you know, if there was a child there, their parent had to be with them. So it worked out good, man. Everybody had a really good time.
Well, that's awesome, man. And I know they appreciate you doing that. I know every time I've been down there, they've been greatly appreciative of us coming down. And so I'm sure if don't nothing happen, good Lord willing, I'm sure you'll be headed back down to do that again next year and upcoming years. So looking forward to that. So you say you're off work on Fridays and Saturdays. So that's your training day. Your puppies on Friday and your other dogs on Saturday. Are you so what's your idea as far as what you're doing with your puppies? Are you just running them all together? Are you breaking them down into pairs, or how are you doing that this year?
Yeah, now if them boys can come and go, when we got just the young dogs, we might have a total of, six. We'll have a total of six puppies, and I'll carry one broke dog with them, you know, just to make sure they're doing it, you know, right. But if it's just me, then I will take just the two puppies and one broke dog. Just depends on who's off and who can go. But, like I said, that we will break them down, you know, just the puppies. They're doing good enough now. I mean, you could take them and kill rabbits with them without a broke dog.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way I like my puppies to be. Self-sufficient, ready to roll. Take a whole pack of puppies out. You know, one of the big problems that we run into this time, well, there's a few big problems we run into around here, around my way, because we got rattlesnakes. But one of the problems we run into with training, especially young dogs, is baby rabbits. So how's the baby rabbit population going down there so far this year?
I haven't, so far I haven't seen that many, but I've run some, you can always tell when you get on them. I haven't, the places I've run at so far, I haven't had much problems with it, yet, but, I know probably in the next couple of weeks, I'll probably go to have them. Problems, you know, getting in the nest and stuff.
Yeah, I got one spot down there. I call it the nursery. I believe that's where every baby rabbit in North Carolina is born and raised, because they, you can't do nothing in there. You'll take a grown dog in there and he'll be just messed up in a hurry. But good thing I like about a lot of the baby rabbits that I run are baby swamp rabbits. And honestly, they run just like their parents do. So they ain't like a cottontail, you know, it's kind of iffy here and there, but them blue tails usually do pretty good as far as training wise. Now I like to take mine out and just in pairs. I'll leave my grown dogs at home, you know, for a week or two, and get my puppies lined up and make sure they're going. I don't really have I got Cash and Winter. They're the youngest two that I've got. Cash, he's a year old. I mean, heck, he's a toe striker right now. I mean, he'd get out there and get with it. And so I don't really have much as far as what I'm working on for the spring, because I don't have any 6 month or 7 month old pups that I'm working with. But so what I do is I just start breaking everybody down to solo and doing a lot of solo time. And then swapping them out, doing another one. You know, I might take two or three dogs and walk them down there, you know, on the lead strap, you know, a good 0.2 mile away from the truck, and cut them and let them run a full while or something like that. So I don't really have too much going on right now this year for me on the young dog side. But, you know, I mean, I guess a lot of people would say, you know, Winter, I mean, she'll be two coming up this summer. Cash, he's a year. I guess some people would call him young, but shoot, them dogs, they can do it. So I don't really worry with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've got some that you do get to work with. So you got some in the makings that you're going to get to see come on out over the spring, and right. And hopefully by the time rabbit season comes in, they'll be really, really getting at it by then.
Right. That the female I've got now, she's already jumping a lot of rabbits. I mean, I notice her in the, even when I care with the grown dog, she's a go-getter. She gets in there and beats the bushes, and she's doing really good.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me again who she's off of.
She was off of Lucy and Dan.
Dan, that's right. What was Dan? He was Indian Hills.
Yeah, he was Indian Hills, and then, you know, Max, which he was mm-hmm. off of your dog you used to have.
Right, Branko. For all that's full-blooded Branko. He wasn't Branko bred, but he was full-blooded Branko because his mama was Branko's Cottonville Road Share, and his daddy was Branko's Hurricane Whippus. So both of them come out of Canada, and we're thankful for them, you know, in the years that I had them and the crosses that we made. Because I ain't 100%. I'd have to sit here and think about it, but about everything I got down there that's younger, this come up here's got whip in them somewhere, and a couple of them got shire in them. So we got quite a few going on down here. So what's so you got 10 dogs right now. What's your plans on getting any new dogs? Just going to keep out of what you raise?
Yeah, I've got two more that when they come in heat, I'm gonna breed at least one of them. It just depends on how many puppies Ann has. I've got two females up here that was off my Max and Zumi dog, which they're the same breeding as Juicy, just different litters. But I've got a male up here that's got some big metas in him, just doing really good, and I'm gonna cross him with at least one of those dogs. And then I'll keep a few puppies off them. And whenever you breed winter, I'm planning on getting a puppy off of her. So.
Shh. Don't tell. So, no, that honestly, that list is already full. So I think I told three people, and next thing you know, my phone blew up. So, and I'm thankful for each one of my clients. It's no doubt about that. So let's talk about the dangers that we face in spring training when we got our dogs on the ground, like we already mentioned, talking about, you know, just anytime, winter, summer, whenever do we turn a dog out, it ain't guaranteed that we're going to get that dog back, at least in the same condition he was or she was when they come off the tailgate. But what are some of the dangers that you watch out for while you're running your dogs in the spring and the summer?
I get out there, man, early as I can, and I try to run about 3 hours, whether they run good or not. I try to keep them out at least 3 hours. So main thing, I'm not wanting them to get overheated, and then, you know, of course, snake bites this time of year. So I keep medication on hand in my running bag to, if something happens and one of them does get bit by a snake, you know, I can treat them right there instead of having to go home and get it. But fortunately, we don't have the area I stay in. We don't have rattlesnakes. So, that's the one good thing. Most time a copperhead, if one bites it, you know, you can always give it some Benadryl just for a copperhead. But, about the worst snake that I have to worry about is the cottonmouth.
Mm-hmm. And, the old cottonmouth, they rough.
Yeah, so, you know, I just try to be mindful where I am and just, you know, I mean, like I tell everybody, I mean, it's bad. A lot of people won't run this time of year because of snakes, but I'm a firm believer in you make your rabbit dogs in spring and summer. Mm-hmm. I mean, you take a dog, me, I don't like setting a dog up all year or 6 or 7 months. I'm not wired that way. I try to get them out and run them, you know, much as I can. But, you know, I still try to be safe. You know, I carry water with me and carry medication, you know, in case one does get bit. And so that's the main thing, you know, that I really have to worry about.
Right. Right.
It's just not overheating them.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to be it for this week's Fueled by Joy podcast. Remember, tune in for part two next week with Mr. Jason Horn of Brush Busting Kennels. I think you guys will enjoy. Thanks for listening.